Hey my friend, welcome to the Tradie Success Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Allen, and I'm so excited that you're here. If you're new to the podcast, at the Tradie Success Academy, we help trade business owners create freedom from their businesses to live their best life. So I'm really excited to be sharing some of those lessons from members, other coaches in the academy, and my own experience growing my trade business. So make sure you hit subscribe and follow us on your current player, and you can head over to Spotify and ask a question where we get to understand what you want to hear more of. So make sure you do that, and until then, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Tradie Success Podcast. I'm here with Bro Christie from Scape Co. I cannot wait to jump into this session today with you, Bo, and find out about you, your business, some of the challenges you've gone through, and how the Academy's helped you like break through some of those situations you've been in. So welcome to the show.
Now, awesome. Thanks, Greg, for having me. And yeah, it's a pleasure to be on. I'm pretty excited for a chat today.
Yeah, me too. All right, man. Well, let's start with you. When did you start your business? Tell us about Scape Co.
Scape Co. pretty much started as soon as I qualified landscaping and finished my apprenticeship. So that was 6 years ago. I was subcontracting for a mate of mine probably for the first 6 months of that. And then from there, he just sort of gave me the nudge to sort of go and do it on my own because he said I had all the tools. So went and did it. And then, yeah, now we are 6 years later getting into it. So, yeah.
Wicked. So 6 years from is when you finished your apprenticeship or?
Yeah, so I started my apprenticeship in 2013 and then, yeah, made my way until about the end of 2017 and then 2018 started as a sole trader essentially and was subbing for the first 6 months and then just went out on my own and haven't looked back.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm really excited to walk through that journey of business ownership, being a sole trader, working as a subcontractor and then working through some of those challenges. So when you started your business, what was that like? Like how did you go about getting work? How did you get started?
Well, I sort of got started. I just had a couple of my parents' friends that sort of reached out and said, hey, we need this done, like little odd jobs, stuff like that. And then it stemmed from there. Sort of I knew a couple of builders, so I started doing work for them as well. But, yeah, it was pretty much just word of mouth. Luckily, just never ran out of work. But that also went with only me being on site, and I eventually got an apprentice probably about a year in, I think.
Wicked. And with the apprentice, did you find that was a positive thing at the start? Like you got some support, you were able to utilize those to help you, you know, get on top of the cleanup and all of the jobs that you had to do?
Yeah, I mean, my apprentice that I first signed on, he only recently just left and he was awesome from the get-go. Like he just knew what he was doing. His head was screwed on. I didn't really have to teach him that much. He was actually really, really good, fresh out of school as well.
Awesome.
But yeah, he was really good and probably, you know, he was the reason why we got, you know, bigger and bigger as the years went on.
Awesome. And so what's your business look like now?
So right now, I've just recently, since I joined the TSA, I hired an extra two qualified. So I've got myself, two qualified boys, a fourth year apprentice and a first year apprentice. And then my wife has started doing the part-time admin role for me as well.
What was holding you back from putting on tradespeople before that?
Always just thought that the cost would outweigh, like the labor cost would outweigh, you know, how much we're actually bringing in. It was, you know, I had a team of three for a good chunk of, you know, 3-4 years. And, you know, work was steady. I never had to chase it. It was always, you know, just there ready to go. And then I always was just too hesitant to put on more people because I just thought I couldn't afford it. But you soon learn that you can.
Isn't it interesting when you're growing your business, you reach this place of homeostasis. It's almost like you'll grow up into the capacity you've created and then you'll just sit there and you'll stay busy and you'll go through these fluctuations like you always do with busy periods and quiet periods, but you don't actually grow over time. And like you said, you had the same size team. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were, pretty much the same size team for, 3-4 years. And I'd just be booked out for like, you know, 6-7 months at a time. So I'm like, oh, I don't really need to worry about chasing up that lead, or, you know, going and following up with, you know, new clientele and all that sort of stuff, and creating, you know, new relationships. And then, yeah, so that was pretty much the reason I was comfortable. I think that's a good word for it. I was just comfortable
just
with where
say,
I am.
Yeah. You just get comfortable. And if you do get comfortable, you know, it's just the same as exercise really, isn't it? Like if you're comfortable, you stop exercising, or you just do the same routine every week, you don't actually improve. You just flatline.
Yeah.
Cool. So what changed though? Like when you come into the academy, like what did you come into the academy for? Like what was the reason?
I was always thinking about a business sort of coach last year. And then, yeah, like I said, my qualified, who I'd had from since day dot pretty much, decided that he sort of wanted to take a different path, and it sort of hit me pretty hard, and I didn't really take it too well. Like I was struggling a fair bit. And then we started, work sort of started January this year, and, you know, it was just me and my two apprentices, and everything just sort of came crashing down. I had a pretty big bill that was overdue for about 7 months from a builder. So bills were topping up. Work was just getting too much. You know, I sort of remember calling, it's probably 4 days into work for the year, and I remember calling Beck, my wife, and just sort of, I was almost in tears, just like, I don't know if I can keep going anymore. Like, I've had enough. Like, it was pretty much time to throw in the towel. And then that's when I was like, took it upon myself and, you know, called up TSA, and then they obviously sent me Ben Doran's, the air conditioning podcast. I listened to that, and then from there I was just like, holy hell, like, this is exactly what I need. It's exactly what I need.
Yeah.
So
that's so cool, man. So let's reflect on your situation there, though, because I see this all the time. Obviously, we work with thousands of trade business owners now, and this situation is a case of reactivity. So you get comfortable, and then instead of you like hiring someone and then it's quiet and you have to fill the gap, someone leaves. So you get churn, and churn is a big thing in a bigger company. Like you've got, say if you had 30 staff, like you're always going to have someone leaving every year. Yep. Whereas a sole trader or a smaller company, you might hold on to someone for 3 years, but when that person leaves, then it's all of a sudden reactively trying to do the work that they were doing yourself. And for you, you know, because we were comfortable and you were easily getting the work and there was no really reason to go and get extra work, or even, you know, you were in a good position too where you weren't working too hard and everything was sort of balanced and you worked out your schedule. And then someone leaves and it just leaves you with this hole, and obviously you get pulled straight back up onto the tools. So had he left and he just left, and then you were doing the tools that he was doing?
Yeah, so pretty much my aim was to sort of, you know, I tried to take like a day off per week to sort of focus on, you know, job leads, quotes, invoices, all that sort of stuff. And my intentions was, I sort of sat him down at the start of last year and just said, hey, this is where I think we can get to. You know, if you're happy to stay, this is what I can offer. Obviously it didn't work. He sort of wanted to go his own way, and that's fine. Never held it against him. Still love him to this day. But then it sort of just put me back into the situation where I was pretty much doing his job and my job at the same time. You know, I couldn't leave him. I can't leave two apprentices on site, without me being there. Cause you know, it just doesn't work. Nothing runs smoothly. You know, they're still great workers, but like, yeah, still in training. One's almost qualified, which is good. And he's come a long, long way since he's had to step up into a new role. So yeah, it's all starting to flow a little bit nicer now.
Yeah. That's, it's interesting to reflect on. Like if you wouldn't have got to the workload that you had without that extra tradesperson. Yeah. And so with that extra tradesperson, you would have had, you know, let's just say 150% or just like 60 hours worth of work a week. And as soon as that person that's doing 40 hours a week goes, even though you're doing 20 hours a week and the rest, you know, maybe 30 hours of yours is ops management and admin and a little bit of sales and marketing, as soon as that person goes, you've just, here, have another 40 hours of on-site. And so it's like, that's why it comes to breaking point real quick for a business owner, because if we don't have awareness around it, all of a sudden we're working all the time, but we don't realize the load we're wearing on our shoulders, and we can fatigue really quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So you were feeling that right before you're like, fuck, I'm going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, had to do something about it. It was sort of, wasn't just affecting me at work. It was affecting me at home. You know, like my time was pretty much all dedicated to being on the computer at night. Me and my wife barely got to spend any time. Like, we don't have any kids yet, but, you know, I always thought, you know, when it gets down the track, I don't want to have to be doing this. You know, I want to have the freedom to be able to do what I want with my family and, you know, have a bit of time outside of work, which it just was, I just had nothing at all.
Yeah. And you don't when you, when someone leaves and then you're left with all of the responsibility. But I think the key is for you to do what you've done, which is, you know, what can I do? What's my options here? How do I go about fixing this situation? And for you, it was to put extra capacity in your team. And you said, since starting at the academy, and what I love about your story is you've only been in the academy for 8 weeks. So it's, you know, you've got a lot of results, a lot it's of crazy. Awareness in just 8 weeks. Yeah. So I'd love to walk through what you've done since, because I know there's so many people out there who are wearing so much load right now, and they're overwhelmed, and they'll wake up early. I hear stories of people waking up at like 2:30, 3 o'clock, 3:30 sometimes. They're doing all of their office work, then they're going on the tools for 10 hours, and then they're coming home, quick dinner with the missus, and then back in the office till they go to bed. And that's not uncommon. And there is a way out of that. And the crazy thing is, when you're doing that as a business owner, you're about 50 to 60% efficient across all of those things because you've got 100%. So much going through your mind. So so you came in and you're like, what happened? So what? How did you fix it?
I pretty much had my sort of initial phone call with Madison, and then pretty much a couple of days later had another Zoom with her, with Beck, and we both just left and said, this is it. This is what we've got to do if we're going to resolve, you know, having to live like this. Got stuck straight into it. And then, we had all the sessions sort of dedicated to each sort of aspect of just business-wise. And then, it just gives you a real eye-opener, you know, being able to implement stuff in your pricing structures and making sure that you're actually charging enough to be able to make your profit that you're intending to make. And then even just the hiring sort of section that we went through, I went through that and like redid my hiring ad. And so even just from doing the implementations that they've said for that, I ended up, you know, getting 2 qualified tradies out of it. And I've been trying for 7 months to get one. So I managed to get 2 in one. So that was probably the big one. The hiring bit, and then just like even like marketing, like all the sales and all that sort of stuff, just getting, knowing how to post and, you know, how to draw customers in and just chasing up on your leads and all that sort of stuff. It's just all the small minute things that add up to be so beneficial for the business in itself, and it gave me a great insight into, you know, how to create this freedom for myself and become successful.
And at the end of the day, what you've done now is you've, like we were saying, let's use that example. You had 60 hours, you were on the tools 20 hours a week, you know, 40 with what your first tradie. They left, leaving you with 60 all by yourself. And so what you've done is put 2 tradies on and created 80 hours of capacity. So even though you might have had 60 hours of work, you've got 20 hours of spare. And then that's when you have the time now to get on top of all your quotes, do some sales and marketing. Like you said, you've got time to do that. And that draws in the work to fill their capacity, leading to growth. And every step of the way, that's freedom for you. And while you have capacity in the team, you have freedom. Like, people think that I have to grow this big business to start living a better life and spend more time with my missus and be with the family. But you don't. You just need to be aware of your capacity and hand over that responsibility as soon as you know that it's encroaching on that, those personal things like your personal routines, you know, your personal performance and your family, you know, your partners can sometimes suffer as well when that load increases. So can you speak to that and like how that experience is like since putting 2 on? Because a lot of people are like, what, you put 2 on at once? Like people freak out by that. But like, what was that like, that experience for you?
Look, I I sort of, because I had one of them got in contact pretty early and I was pretty keen to talk to him. And then the other guy actually sort of came on quite late. And I sort of set up an interview with him 2 days after our phone call. So I had two of them on the same day. And I came out of both of them. I said, I can find these two. Like, I don't think I can say no to either of them. I had a Zoom meeting and he was just like, just go for it. Just hire them both. Check your pricing and costing structure that we've gone through. And I plugged it all in, looked at it all. And yeah, like just for it, just we're now being able to do double the work. So it increases, you know, the capability to start new jobs earlier. I'm not having to say no to people. Freed me up to have 2 days off the tools at this stage. And I'm trying to push it to get, you know, more towards, you know, 3 or 4 days off. And just being able to sort of leave and not have to, you know, always follow up and chase up, you know, make sure they're doing all this. You know, I sort of set out a task for the whole job, set up the materials list for them, and away they go. So, yeah, it sort of opened up a bit more freedom for me. But, yeah, I already still want to hire more now.
Yeah, man. That, yeah, have to. Like, and the more you put in that capacity, the other thing we've got to be aware of is your admin increases, your ops management increases. So, like, you do more invoicing, more quotes, more scheduling, more, you know, preparing materials for jobs. And then that, as your team grows, there's going to be responsibilities there. And that's why the Freedom Pathway, we're helping you hand over that responsibility to like non-billable people, like admins. And I know Beck's doing admin at the moment, but getting her off admin, maybe doing something a bit higher level like general management or some sales and marketing, so that admin just happens every single day. And you guys have that freedom as a couple as well to not have to be there on Monday. So that's exciting to get you to there.
Well, I think out of the two boys I've got, you know, that's probably one thing I will probably mention to them. Like at the start, I said there's room to grow within the business. You're not sort of pigeonholed into this, you know, just qualified tradesperson. And I even took one of them out to a quote with me last week. I said, hey, this is how it all works. This is how it goes. And then he even took it upon himself to sort of draw up a little concept design for the client that I was able to include into the quote, which was free of charge, essentially. And it was just like they're already showing me that they want to grow. I think that's the main thing, like just showing them that they're not pigeonholed into where they are and that there's room to grow within the business. I think that you get the best out of your workers by that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's empowering the team to be their best selves at work rather than like, I'm just coming to do what I'm told to do. You've enabled them to see a future that they can have if they do the right things.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, man. Awesome. Well, I'd love to talk a little bit about your industry and congratulations so far on where you've got to with going through the ups and downs there. So much more to come and I can't wait to see you go through that at the academy. Yeah. But tell me about how you got into the industry, what you love about your industry, and some of the things you've learnt about running a business in your industry. So I'd love to go through those sort of topics.
Yeah, so I wasn't great at school. I was intelligent, but I didn't like being hemmed into a classroom. I like to be outdoors. I like to be sort of, you know, on my feet doing some stuff. So I tried a whole heap of different trades that my dad just goes, oh, my mate wants you to try this. So I did pretty much any trade you can think of. And then I was in the middle of, year 12, I think it was. And dad just goes, oh, you're not going to do it. Just here's one of my other mates, landscaper, you know, have a go at it. And as soon as I started, I loved every minute of it. I just love how you can just do so many different things on so many different days. Like you're not just stuck doing the one thing, and then the pleasure you get out of actually seeing the finished product when it's all done from where you started, that gave me a good thrill. And that's why I sort of chose the landscaping industry in itself.
Cool. And what would you say to some young people that are at high school right now, might be feeling the same way about your trade, to help them feel inspired about testing out the landscaping industry?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're an outdoors person, it's perfect for you. You've obviously got some rain days, but, you know, that comes with it. But I think if you just love not being stuck doing the same thing every day, like you do paving, retaining walls, you know, you do softscaping like planting out, you know, turf, there's irrigation, like there's a whole range of different things that you can do within the landscaping industry. And yeah, it's just the joy you get out of finishing a job and seeing what it is when you've finished and what you've created is so pleasing. And yeah, you get a good kick out of it.
Man, I'm just as a customer of, you know, through the experience of landscaping in my own home, what it went from to what it is after being landscaped is so rewarding, and you feel really proud of it as a customer. And, you know, you pay for it and it's exactly what you get. Like it's a great addition to the property. It increases the property's value and it looks and feels better to live in the home when it's a fully landscaped home.
Oh, absolutely. And like you can utilize so many areas within your yard that you probably don't even think you can. So you could have a small backyard and be able to utilize it to have, you know, two or three, you know, different spaces that you can enjoy throughout, you know, all seasons of the year as well. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Tell me about like the craziest landscaping job you've done.
Craziest landscaping job we've done.
Okay. It might have been the best like turnaround
I think the best turnaround one is we sort of I got involved with a designer. So, you know, the plan was all done. Had one of the pool builders we now work for, he was installing the pool. And the concept was just awesome. It had like a fire pit area with like a custom concrete rendered bench seat for a fire pit area. Had an alfresco area with an inbuilt concrete bench top. For his pizza oven and all that sort of stuff on a decking area. And then he obviously had the pool area. The satisfaction that we all got out of that job when it was completed was unreal. That was probably the best job I've done so far, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what did it look like before you started?
It actually wasn't too bad. Like it was a pretty recent build. I reckon it was only built within the last sort of 8 years, but it was sort of just, you know, fake turf, and then the rest was just all concrete. So it was usable space, but it wasn't utilized to the way that it could have. Big demo, pool installed. And then ended up creating a really, really good space for the clients. And, yeah, they were a young family, so they were stoked.
Cool. So you designed it around what they needed, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so when you got into your business, so what did you think business would be like? And then what was the reality? I'd love to talk through that in the landscaping industry.
Well, my mum has owned a hairdressing business for sort of, you know, 20, 30 years. And I sort of just asked her how I do things. And, like, these things are so small that she was telling me about. So I was like, oh, it can't be that hard. And you sort of get your first couple of pays from a job and you're like, oh, this is easy. This is so easy. And then obviously all the – you know, your BAS and, you know, all the taxes you got to pay for your workers and just all that overhead stuff that you don't think about comes crashing down. And then that's when you're just like, oh boy. So, you know, I got my accountant and bookkeeper pretty much straight away. But even then, like it's so many just different things that you don't think about that creep up on you and you just, it leaves you sort of in the dark a fair bit. I didn't really know who else to turn to. I sort of just went along as I, you know, did it as I went. Got a bit flustered a few times.
Yeah, man. It's interesting because as business owners, we don't realize the amount of liabilities that are building up in the background. So there's, like you said, there's the company tax, there's the BAS, GST, and your tax withholdings for your staff. And you don't have to pay those straight away. So just your bank account starts growing and growing and growing. And you're like, shit, yeah, it's easy.
So much money.
So much money. Until like just within a week, you're going from like creaming it, think you're rolling in it, and then it's like $400
it just
in the
drops.
Bank. And you're like,
totally
understand that. Cool. And then so once you do understand a few rounds of that and you start getting your BAS and you're like, all right, I've got to start preparing for that.
Yeah.
You know, how did things change for you? Do you feel like you got into a rhythm when you found that homeostasis with your team? You obviously had your natural organic leads coming in, you're doing the quotes, you're doing the jobs and then invoicing, and it was sort of comfortable. Do you find it was about there?
Yeah, it was. Like, I was over my finances. Beck, my wife, has a spreadsheet for it. So I've got that sort of, that, like, the bill sort of side of things, probably minus the bass, was pretty good. Team culture was, it was good, but it definitely needed improvement before TSA. Like, yeah, like I could be pretty moody sometimes, and that probably reflects from, you know, how I'm feeling at home and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
100%. So it was a ripple effect essentially on the boys at work. So yeah, I knew that had to sort of change. And then quotes and invoices. Quotes, I wasn't getting to them quick enough. And then once I was sent, I wasn't chasing them up because I'm like, oh, I've got plenty of work in front of me. If they want it, they can have it. I was just comfortable. I wasn't getting anywhere. I was sort of stagnant for, you know, 3-4 years, at the same pace. Net profit was the same. You know, all that sort of stuff. Nothing was changing. So,
Isn't it interesting that even though you're stagnating, it doesn't feel like you're stagnating because you're always busy.
Yeah.
And you think, no, if I just keep doing the work, I should one day hopefully be better.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you don't.
It doesn't. Like,
but that's what people don't realize. And when you start to create capacity in a team, you feel the same. Like, this is what I've, in reflection, I did the same as you, man. Like, I was the same. Yeah. I was stagnated for years. I'm like, why hasn't the income gone up? I've worked so hard this year. You know, I've been stressed, I've been overwhelmed, I've been chasing work, I've been too busy on the tools. And why haven't we grown since last year? And it's because you don't grow until you put more people on. And that's the only time you'll grow. And you'll stay just as busy. That's the crazy thing. Like, you can design how your life looks. You'll be just as busy. You'll probably work just as many hours. But the more people you have, obviously, the less you'll do of that role that you've hired for. So yes, it's really cool working with you guys, and for you guys to have the aha moment, because
it's crazy, that aha moment. It's hard to explain to people.
Yeah, it is. I was coaching our new coach. We had 5 new coaches start. And they came out to Byron, and we're all sitting in a room, and they go, "Oh, how did you get so successful at Response Electricians? Like, it looks like you've done such a great job." I was like, "I did everything we're teaching the hard way."
Yeah, like, I just did, took you longer.
I hired an apprentice first, and then I couldn't grow. I couldn't afford a tradesperson. And then when I finally got to the place where I got a tradesperson, I got someone I knew. And it's like, and then so that ended up being complicated because, you know, I had the friendship aspect to it. And then when I got my first admin, it was a VA, and they didn't speak English. So I had to spend all my time in, like, training and development and building processes so that they could do the tasks I wanted. And then I hired a friend next again. Didn't learn my lesson, obviously. And then I hired my first good admin. Actually took all that responsibility off me. And said, "Hey, Greg, it's all right. I've got this. You don't need to worry about this anymore." It's like, what the hell's happening? Like, this is so good. And then even with our ops manager, I hired someone. I promoted someone within, and that just took. That was great, but it just took a long time to get that person up to speed versus hiring someone that with experience. So I've done all of our scaling strategies the hard way. And that's why it took me 10 years, you know, instead of like someone like Ben now, who's got a general manager in 18 months. Like, he's crazy. Got business freedom.
His story is crazy.
Yeah. But it's so, so actionable and so achievable by people, but you've just got to have the balls like he does to put people on before he needs them. And then he'll grow into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, his story was, very inspirational to me. I could relate to pretty much everything he was saying. So
cool.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you might be the next one hiring 2 people at once.
Hopefully. Like I said, I'm already sort of looking at trying to get another one on, to be honest. Like, I sort of like the thrill of having to chase work now. I sort of get a bit of a kick out of it. Like, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It just gives me so much more drive and so much more passion that I didn't think that I had within me to be able to go and chase the work and, you know, operate on a different sort of level and basis to what I'm used to. It's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And the crazy thing is, if you're on the tool, if you get pulled back on the tools because your sales and marketing you're doing now is working, then you stop having the time to do that anymore. And then that falls away and you get stuck again. So you've got the right mindset to like create that space, and then that'll keep you driven in that right place.
Yeah.
Cool. It's very interesting as well. Like you're moving to the place now, which would be our expansion phase in our freedom pathway. And that expansion phase is where you're handing over to like an admin, which you're handing over to Beck now. And then it would be like systemizing that and actually giving that to a full-time experienced admin to like take that. And then she can move in to help you in the sales and marketing space. I've seen a lot of business owners like yourself have the partner doing all of the initial phone calls, introducing the company, and then setting up meetings for you. And then you go out and then you can really streamline those principles that help you move forward and upward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Awesome, man. So what else with your business growth, like what are you hoping to create from your business?
Look, I think next stage will be probably to get one or two more workers, and within that time, hopefully have one of the guys that I've had signed on become sort of that ops manager role. He sort of seems pretty keen to want to learn how to do it. I want Beck somewhere in the team. She's got her own hairdressing business at the moment that she's trying to sort of move away from. So she's sort of figuring out what she wants to do. But, you know, I'd love her to be a part of the team somewhere, whether that's admin, sales, marketing, wherever. And then be able to get a full-time admin. I love being on the tools. I love being on the tools. But at the end of the day, I think if things are going to run more smoothly, I sort of need to be off them. Just so I can, you know, oversee everything. There's little things that we're sort of still working out our three-year plan on where we want to get to by the time we're probably having kids. We're still trying to work that out. But, you know, that's probably including just moving house, getting a factory, obviously expanding the team. Still figuring it out. Still pretty fresh to it all. But we're definitely heading in the direction I want to at the moment, for sure.
Well, game day next week, we'll be able to go into the Freedom Pulse Check, and that helps you think forward, set that vision, and just make sure we're putting the right steps in place. That's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Cool, man. Hey, what would you say to someone that might be thinking about getting into the academy? Because I know a lot of people, they feel like, oh, I don't really need a coach. I'm doing good enough at the moment. Or, you know, I'm getting enough work. I don't really need help. Yeah. So what would you say to someone that might be even looking at it like that?
Yeah, I think even if you do need help or you don't, I still think you should do it either way. I was pretty skeptical about the whole thing. I thought, no one's going to be able to help me. I felt like I was the only person that was ever feeling like this, which is completely wrong. I've been around 50 to 60 people each week, and we all have that meeting and we're all in the same position. We all share the same struggles, you know, the same problems, like all these things. It's just so beneficial to surround yourself with people that are like-minded like you, that get what they get what you're going through. Just the coaching as well here. Like, there's so many different coaches for so many different sections. You can just gain so much knowledge, and the growth that you'll be able to get, even just with the 8 weeks that I've got, it just changes your perspective on business itself completely. So, I highly recommend.
Thank you, brother. Hey, man, you've only just started. I can't wait to see what you achieve.
I know. Yeah.
It's so exciting. Yeah, I love this. Good on you, man. Well, thanks for joining us at the podcast. Really appreciate you being here. And anyone who wants to learn more about Ben, head over to Scape Co. Make sure you follow his Instagram. He's doing some awesome social media videos, very professional. So get some inspo from him. And look forward to seeing you next time, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Greg. Cheers, mate. See ya.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed the episode. For me, it took me a long time to grow my trade business because I made so many mistakes. It was stressful, it was lonely, and I didn't know what I needed to do to grow the business. And now that I've got operational time freedom myself, you know, I've moved to Byron Bay, my company runs by itself in Perth, it gave me the inspiration to want to help people like you not go through the challenges that I face. And now we're helping people get there in just a matter of years from startup. So I'm so excited to introduce the Freedom Fighters program at the Tradie Success Academy, where you can get to operational time freedom and live your best life. Head to the show notes, click the link, and check out the Freedom Fighters program today.